Welcome to the deep dive. We're shelving the rule books for a bit today.
Yeah, setting aside the dice for a moment.
We've got something pretty cool lined up. A deep dive into Session 7 of a D&D campaign, The Sunless Citadel.
Mm-hmm. And our source for this is a YouTube transcript from GM Wintermute. It gives us a really detailed look.
Exactly. So you get the play-by-play. And our mission, really, for you listening, is to pull out the key stuff from this session.
We want to get to the heart of it, the big events, the discoveries, the choices the players made, like you were watching it happen.
Right. So let's get grounded. Where were we at the start of Session 7? Well, the transcript tells us the party had just wrapped up a pretty intense previous session.
And they'd bumped into Belak the Slab.
Yeah. Fought some goblins, a hobgoblin, this gardener guy they called the Gobbler.
Oh, yeah, and that fire snake. Don't forget the fire snake.
Can't forget that. They'd cleared out a few garden rooms in the Citadel, and they were, understandably, taking a long rest before checking out this door in the southwest part of a northern room.
So, classic D&D setup. Cleared some ground, took a breather, now facing the next unknown door, ready for whatever's next.
Pretty much. Session 7 kicks off with some character admin leveling up. Always satisfying.
The best part, sometimes. Getting stronger.
They're talking spells, dancing lights, mage armor, getting prepped. Then, boom, focus right back on that door.
You feel that tension, right? Hmm. What's behind door number one? That's Dungeon Crawling 101.
Totally. Tempest, one of the characters, does the cautious thing.
Yeah.
Checks for traps, poison.
Smart move. Always check the door.
And it's clear. Unlocked. Even better. So they open it, and the description is great. Carved granite room, debris scattered around, old place.
Okay.
But the main thing. A huge marble statue, red dragon, rearing up.
Oh.
And its eyes, empty sockets, but they're glowing red, lighting the room. Casts this long shadow behind it.
Okay, that's atmospheric, creepy lighting.
And right in front of it, this circular tile, dark stone about 5 feet wide, runes etched around the edge. Immediately screams puzzle.
Definitely. Glowing dragon eyes, runes. Something magical is going on here. Sets the scene perfectly for the session.
For sure. So the runes. They're in Draconic, Eric translates. Let the sorcerer's power illuminate my spirit.
Ah, Draconic. Makes sense with the dragon statue. Sorcerer's power, huh? Interesting phrasing.
Yeah, and they kind of stumble at first. They think illuminate, so they try dancing lights.
Logical first step, maybe. Lights, illuminate.
But nope, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I need something more specific.
The sorcerer's power bit, maybe?
Exactly. Nita Laku, she's the party sorcerer. She gets the hint, steps onto the tile, says the phrase.
Okay, here we go.
And spectral flames just erupt from the tile. But they don't hurt her. Just wash over her and fade.
Cool visual. Any effect?
Big time. Advantage on all of her charisma checks for the next 24 hours.
Oh, nice. That's a solid boon for sorcerer. Good puzzle reward. Sets her up well for the session.
Yeah, really clever. A reward tied right into the character class.
But you just know it's not going to stay peaceful for long?
You guessed it. Right after the flames die down, they notice something. The shadow. It's one cast by the dragon statue.
Yeah.
It's moving, peeling off the wall.
Yeah.
And heading straight for Nita Laku.
Yikes. Ambush from a shadow.
Yep. Roll initiative. Session 7's first combat kicks off.
Okay. Sudden shift. From puzzle solving to, oh crap, fight. Classic.
Nita Laku reacts fast, though.
Hmm.
Uses her bow, gets that dread ambusher bonus attack.
That reaction. Does it work?
First arrow kind of phases through it. Shadows, you know. Resist
yeah.
non-magical stuff.
Right. Tough nuts to crack without magic weapons.
But the second arrow hits. But then the shadow touches her and drains 4 points of strength.
Ooh. Strength drain. That hurts. Especially for a caster. Really ups the threat level right away.
Yeah. The party immediately starts talking, how do we even hit this thing reliably? Wing tries to flank it. Turkey, the cleric, steps up.
Cleric power. Let's go. Sacred flame.
You got it. Hits it with radiant damage. Poof. Shadow dissolves.
Nice. Radiant damage is often the key for incorporeal stuff like that. Quick thinking from Turkey saved Nita Laku from more drain.
Definitely showed the value of having different damage types ready. So, threat gone. They check on Nita Laku. She's weakened, but okay.
Gotta keep an eye on that strength drain, though. It lingers.
Meanwhile, Tempest is poking around behind the statue. Finds a loose stone.
Ah, secrets.
Yep. Small alcove. 34 gold pieces. And interestingly, 2 flasks of alchemist's fire.
Ooh, alchemist's fire. Handy stuff. Nice little reward for being thorough.
Every little bit helps. All right, next move. The north door in the dragon room. Unlocked. Quiet.
Okay, moving on.
Beyond it, a library, or what used to be a library. Bookshelves leaning, some fallen over. Path through the middle, though.
Sounds wrecked.
Totally. torn pages, burnt scrolls piled up, hints of some past disaster. Feels like lost knowledge, you know?
Yeah, ruined libraries always make you wonder what secrets burned up or are still hidden in the mess.
They don't stick around there too long. Check another door. Same deal. Unlocked, no sound.
Deeper into the Citadel.
And this one opens onto stairs. Damp, crumbly steps going down sharply. But there's a safety railing.
A safety railing? Seriously, yeah. In a crumbling dungeon, that's weirdly practical.
Yeah.
Or maybe ominous.
Right. So down they go. They pass under those garden rooms they cleared earlier. Yeah. Navin spots another staircase further off, maybe 40, 50 feet. Goes up to a hall, turning south.
Any signs of life?
Nope. Quiet. The corridor they're in keeps going south. Ends with two doors on the east wall. No weird shadows this time, thankfully.
Okay, so deeper level, a couple of doors. Standard dungeon crawl procedure.
And Navin tries to be sneaky, checks the first east door. Locked. No traps, no noise.
Dead end for now. Second door.
Bingo. Goblin voices. Faint, but definitely goblins.
Ah, knew they wouldn't be alone down here for long. Goblins again. Potential fight incoming.
So the party huddles. Mm. Plan is maybe ambush them. They decide to tackle the locked door first.
Yeah.
The one next to the goblin chatter.
Get another angle on them, maybe.
Seems like it. These tools come out. Dex check. Success. The lock clicks open.
All right, what's inside?
It's a storage room. Floor is covered in soil. Wooden shelves on the walls, full of old tomes, scrolls. Rough desk in the middle.
Okay, like an archive or something.
Kind of. Ceiling's got that glowing fungus light. And weirdly, there are small bushes and pale saplings actually growing in the soil on the floor.
Growing? Down here? Not twig blights, though.
Doesn't look like it. Just plants. Odd. Definitely more going on here than just storage.
Intriguing. Anything useful on the shelves?
Yeah, they find some records, seasonal stuff, growth, rain, harvest notes for the last 12 years.
12 years? Someone was keeping track of the surface world from down here. Weird.
Harry. And they find a big bound book written in Draconic.
Draconic again. Any translators this time?
Doesn't seem like anyone present can read it, unfortunately. Another puzzle piece for later, maybe.
Adds to the mystery. What about that other door in the room? The one they heard the goblins behind.
They check it quickly. Still hear the goblins. It's not locked. But their attention snaps back to that Draconic book.
Why? What's special about it?
It's got a title. Treasures of the Fire Lord. And it's just radiating magic. You can feel it.
Uh-oh. Magic book. Handle with care.
Apparently not carefully enough. Damon opens it. Turns a page. And whoosh! A glyph of warding just explodes. Cold magic erupts. Hits everyone nearby.
Yikes. Trapped book. Classic. Cold damage from a Fire Lord book. That's darkly funny.
Right. And painful. After the blast, new words appear in the book, also Draconic. Turkey glances, confirms he can't read it. Damon's like, okay, into the backpack you go.
Smart move. Don't poke the explodey book again. But the noise.
Exactly. The goblins next door heard that. Lots of yelling starts up.
Uh-oh. Alarm raised.
But the party's plan changes fast. Okay, flanking. Hit them from both doors now. Combat footing again.
Makes sense. Turn the tables. But wait, did they find anything else in that storage room before the boom?
Ah, good point. While the book drama was happening, Nidalee was searching. Found a scroll of entangle.
Useful crowd control.
Scroll of protection from poison.
Always good.
A tome on, get this, heretical theories on the cycle of life and death.
Okay, that sounds ominous and potentially very interesting later. Foreshadowing.
Maybe. And loot. 365 gold. 4 agate gems in the desk cubbies.
Nice. A decent haul to offset the magical explosion damage. Okay, scrolls, cash, gems, creepy tome, and angry goblins next door. Session's heating up.
It is. So Tempest goes to the door. They heard the goblins behind. Bow ready. Opens it cautiously. Initiative time.
How many goblins?
4 of them in there. Navin's still in the hall. Shannon moves up for support. But the transcript notes, Tempest looks surprised.
Surprised? How so? Like, fewer goblins than expected.
Or maybe they just looked pathetic.
Mm.
The fight that follows is super quick. Little Kai moves in, takes one down instantly, calls it a blueberry of bloodshed.
Ha! Graphic. Okay, so one down.
Tempest holds an action. One goblin yells, "Protector of the Twilight Grove, aid us!"
Twilight Grove! Protector! Okay, more clues about this place. Hierarchy, maybe?
Could be. Another goblin swings a scimitar at Little Akai. Another shoots an arrow, but misses maybe a reaction defense. Tempest shoots the archer goblin, hits.
They're dropping fast.
Yeah, the players are apparently commenting like, you guys seem weaker than the last batch. Navin gets to the door, Shannon steps in. Seems like cleanup.
So less of a challenge, more like guards. Low-level ones. Interesting. What's this Twilight Grove they yelled about?
That's the room they're in now. Twigs, roots on the floor. south walls partly collapsed, glowing fungus light again, and there's this weird grove in the middle, briars, bushes, saplings, strange little walls and towers made of stick.
Grove underground, weird.
And beyond it, through the collapsed wall, you can see into this enormous dark cavern.
Okay, the citadel opens up here.
And then they see movement. Three twig blights shuffling towards them from the grove.
Ah, twig blights. Back to the plant theme. Makes sense with the grove.
Before jumping into another fight, though, they pause. Quick heal. Nita Luckhoo uses lay on hands, probably on herself for that strength drain.
Smart. Assess the situation, patch up. That drain's still an issue.
They talk about needing a short rest, but figure it's too risky down here. Makes sense.
Yeah, too exposed, especially with the big cavern nearby. Okay, so twig blights it is.
Round two or three. Initiative again. Nevin goes first, drops a twig blight immediately.
Nice. Fast start.
Tempest readies a spell. Dust. Smart move. Area control if they get close. They also notice the briars in the grove are nasty damage if you enter. Need a con save.
Environmental hazard. Good to know. Keep out of the thorny bits.
Turkey moves down. Hits another blight with Firebolt.
Fire seems effective against plants.
The other two blights attack Little Akai, but whiff. Both miss.
Lucky misses.
Nevin flanks and kills the second to last one. Little Akai attacks the final one. Turkey finishes it with Sacred Flame. Boom. Done.
Efficient. They handled those blights well. Seems like they're getting the hang of these plant creatures. But what about that noise they heard?
Right. The sound from deeper in the cavern. They look south into the darkness.
Yeah.
And they see it.
What is it?
A tree. Massive. Black. Twisted limbs, looks incredibly evil. The Gulthius tree.
The Gulthius tree sounds bad. Is it alone?
Oh no, standing near it. But like the outcast, he's back.
Knew he wouldn't be gone for good. Who's with him?
Two more quig blights. A young guy in heavy armor, Sir Bradford. A young woman in robes, Charlaine.
Oh, okay. Reinforcements or converts.
Seems like converts. Bradford and Charlaine have black eyes and gray, bark-like skin.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. Definitely corrupted by the tree. That's creepy. Anyone else?
Yeah, one more. Middle-aged guy, beard, brown robe, referred to as Balak's pet frog, the K.
Pet frog? A person called a frog. Okay, that's weird.
Super weird. And as they're taking this all in, one of Balak's twig blights starts heading towards them.
All right, the big boss fight setup. This looks like the climax of the session.
Feels like it. Shannon acts fast, casts silence, drops it right on Balak and his crew.
Smart. Shut down the spellcasters, maybe. Good tactical move.
Definitely. Initiative time again. Here we go. Final showdown.
Let's see how this plays out.
Shannon moves, gets his longbow ready. Nevin uses Dread Ambusher again, gets arrows into Balak right away, hits.
Good opening salvo. Pressure on the main guy.
They note Charlaine's appearance. Again, black eyes, bark skin. Really unsettling. Tookie yells something insulting and launches a firebolt at her. Hits, but maybe with disadvantage from range or cover.
Ha ha, combat insults, love it. How does Balak react?
Just grunts. Can't speak in the silence, remember. His twig lights move forward, so Bradford starts circling around a wall looking for an angle.
Standard heavy armor tactic, flanking move.
Tempest fires magic missile at Charlaine. Second level slot, 4 missiles. Does solid damage, like 17 points.
Ouch. Focusing fire on the likely caster. Good call. What about the frog guy?
The K leaps right at Nita Luckhoo.
Aggressive frog person. Okay, chaotic start. Lots happening.
Totally. Turkey tries something, probably a spell, but the frog can't hear it in the silence. Frog bites at Nita Luckhoo. Misses.
Dodged the frog.
Charlaine starts casting prismatic spray. Big spell, but it goes wild. Misses Nita Luckhoo.
Phew. Dodged a bullet there. Prismatic spray can be devastating.
Nita Luckhoo grunts again. Still silenced. Turkey hits Charlaine with sacred flame.
Chipping away at her.
Little Akai gets in the flank, nails Charlaine with a rapier sneak attack. More damage.
She must be hurting now.
Sir Bradford keeps moving closer. Tempest shoots at him, misses. Shannon lets loose another barrage of magic missiles at Charlaine. Big damage again.
Pouring it on her. She can't last much longer.
Nita Luckhoo engages Sir Bradford with her spear. The frog leaps at Nita Luckhoo again. Misses again.
Persistent frog. Terrible aim, though.
Charlaine gets a spell off, though. Magic missiles target Nita Luckhoo. Hits this time.
Okay, Nita Luckhoo taking some hits now. The fight's swinging back and forth.
Things shift now. Nita Luckhoo uses a sorcery point. Twin spells firebolt. One at the frog, one at Sir Bradford. Hits a frog.
Nice use of sorcery points, spreading the damage.
Little Akai follows up on the frog. Attacks. Critical hit. Sneak attack damage too. The frog looks really bad.
Oh, that's got a sting. Frog's almost done.
Shannon sends more magic missiles, this time at Sir Bradford. Then the frog just dies. Falls over.
Frog down. One less annoyance.
And Charlaine collapses. unconscious.
Sherlane down. Okay, momentum shift.
And right then, Shannon's silent spell ends.
Oh, timing. Bill, I can talk now. What was he trying to say all that time? Probably something important about the tree.
Probably. So now we get some context, like background info for us listeners. Turns out Bilak was using fruit from that Gulthius tree.
The evil-looking one.
Yeah. Giving it to goblins to sell or spread. The seeds grew into the twig blights.
Ah, so that's where they come from. The tree's the source.
And the tree itself. It grew where a vampire was staked ages ago. It's got this dark, primal power.
Vampire tree. Okay, that's some serious evil lore. Explains the corruption.
Balak's plan was basically to use the tree's offspring to take over the surface, control everyone infected by the fruit. His silent grunts were probably him offering them a choice, join him or die.
Classic villain ultimatum. Good thing they had that silence up. So what now? Balak's free to talk, Sharlane and the frog are down.
The tree doesn't react when the silence drops. They notice it doesn't have any fruit on it right now.
Maybe dormant?
Yeah.
Or just between fruiting cycles?
Could be. Anyway, the party looks at Balak, looks at the tree, and decides, gotta destroy the tree. Cut off the source.
Makes sense. Take out the root of the problem. Literally. How?
Turkey throws oil on it. Navin uses Hunter's Mark on the tree, then hits it with a firebolt.
Oil and fire. Classic combo. Especially for a tree.
And it works like a charm. The tree is vulnerable to fire. It just goes up in flames. Fast. Completely destroyed.
Wow. Decisive end to the main threat. What about Balak? And Bradford.
With the tree gone, the narrative says Bradford and Sharlane are basically lost. Still corrupted. Beyond saving. Bilak's fate isn't explicitly stated right after the tree burns, but the implication is he's defeated or dealt with off-screen once his power source is gone. The focus shifts to the aftermath.
Okay, so loot time. Aftermath.
Pretty much. They search the bodies, find two antitoxins, a key, Charlene's signet ring, and her spellbook.
Spellbook. Valuable find for a wizard or potentially selling.
Sir Bradford had Shatterspike. It's a +1 greatsword, crits automatically on objects, resistant to non-magic damage. Pretty sweet weapon.
Oh yeah, Shatterspike is nice. Good find.
Bilak had two more antitoxins, three healing potions, and a wand of entangle.
More goodies. Interesting note, though. The transcript mentions the antitoxins wouldn't have cured the tree corruption anyway. Huh. So it was a magical corruption, not just a poison. Good to know. That's a solid haul, though. Bittersweet, given Bradford and Sherlane.
Very. So, dungeon cleared, main threat gone. What next? They decide, okay, gotta go back to town. Tell Carolyn Hackler what happened.
The woman whose kids were Bradford and Sharlane, right? That's gonna be a tough conversation.
Yeah. They talk about the kobolds still living elsewhere in the Citadel, decide to just leave them be. Not their problem right now.
Probably wise. Avoid poking another nest.
Same with the chain dragon they saw earlier. Too dangerous to mess with. So back to the surface.
Long walk back.
Takes about a day and a half. They stop to bury Sir Bradford and Sharlane. Navin says a few. Vegan words.
Vegan words. Okay, whatever that means. A little eulogy, I guess.
And Shannon tries some kind of cleansing ritual for their souls. They bury Bilak, too. Then head to town.
Right, facing Carolyn.
She's obviously devastated her kids are gone, but also grateful for the closure, knowing what happened. Understands the danger they faced.
That's rough. But at least she knows. Does she hold up her end of the bargain?
Yep. Give them salvage rights to the Citadel. Pays the promised reward. She takes Charlene's spellbook and a holy symbol.
Makes sense, keepsakes.
Navin keeps Shatterspike and some armor. The rest of the loot is basically sold off, divided up.
Fair enough. Mission accomplished, reward claimed. How does the town react?
Oh, word gets around fast. Everyone knows what the party did. They tell the mayor about the dragon still down there.
Yeah, that's a lingering problem the town needs to know about.
And then reports start coming in. Twig blights are popping up around the area.
Gee, the seeds did spread. Confirms the threat was real and ongoing.
Exactly. The mayor gets worried, gathers people to go hunt down the blights. Nip it in the bud.
Good response. Proactive.
There's also mention that some of the fruit wasn't all bad. Like, some helped people, but the party definitely destroyed the dangerous source.
Interesting nuance. Maybe different strains or different effects on people, but the core threat is gone.
Right. And the mayor, trying to lighten the mood maybe, jokingly declares the next day National Navin Day.
Huh. Nice touch. Acknowledging their success, even with a joke. So the town's safe. The immediate threat is gone.
Pretty much wraps up Session 7. They faced tough fights, figured out the mystery of the Gulthius tree, defeated Bilak, gave Carolyn closure, and helped the town deal with the fallout.
a very eventful session.
Absolutely. Lots of highlights. The rune puzzle was cool. The exploding book, definitely memorable, if painful.
Yeah. And the reveal of the tree, its origin, Balak's plan, that was a big moment. Seeing the town react positively, too.
So think about it from the listener's perspective. If you were in that session, facing that shadow or the tree, what would you have done? Would you have tried to reason with Balak before the silence went up? Good question. Or would you have explored the library more? Ignored the goblins? So many choices.
And here's something to chew on. The Galtheus tree is gone, burned to ash, but it came from a vampire. What kind of lingering evil or influence might still be tied to that spot or spreading outwards?
Right. Are there other secrets tied to that vampire origin story still buried in the Sunless Citadel? Things the party missed? Makes you wonder what might happen next.